I want to start today with a bit of a riddle. It's something I've been mulling over since I started reading through this packet.
Okay, lay it on me.
What is pitch black? Technically starts out as waste. And, I mean, the kind of waste you really don't want to touch. But it acts like a Swiss Army knife for the planet.
Huh. That is a very specific, and I have to say, a slightly contradictory list. Usually, things that start as waste. Well, they stay as waste.
It does sound like a contradiction, doesn't it? But that's exactly what we're unpacking today. We're talking about ecochar.
Ah.
Okay. And before you or anyone listening assumes you know what this is and says, oh, it's just charcoal. I've got a bag in the garage. Just pause for a second.
Right. Because it's not the same thing as the briquettes you use for a barbecue. Not even close.
Not at all. We are looking at a stack of technical documents and web content here, all provided by renewable energy consultants. Specifically, we're diving into the work of Bob Rice and the EarthCare gasification systems.
And it becomes clear really fast that this ecochar isn't just burnt wood. It's a highly engineered material.
Exactly. So the mission for this deep dive is to figure out how this stuff actually works. The claims are massive, from soil remediation to cleaning the air. I want to get into the physics and the chemistry behind it. How can one material do all of that?
Well, it really comes down to what I like to call the science of the sponge, except this is a sponge that works on a molecular level.
Science of the sponge. I like that. Okay, so let's start at the very top. What exactly is ecochar? Because I'm looking at the photos here, and honestly, it just looks like dirt or maybe crushed coal.
It does. But the documents make a very clear distinction. They define ecochar as a high-value, pathogen-free biochar. But the key phrase you have to hang on to is produced through the EarthCare gasification process.
So the process is what defines the product.
The process is everything. To get why this isn't just burnt stuff, you have to understand the difference between combustion and gasification. Think about a campfire.
Okay.
You throw a log on, it burns, you see flames. What's left at the end of the night?
A pile of white ash.
Exactly. That's combustion. You've burned off the carbon, it reacted with oxygen, turned into CO2, and poof, it's gone. Gasification is different. It basically cooks the organic matter in a very controlled environment with very little oxygen.
So you're not burning it away, you're baking it.
That's a great way to put it, yes. You're subjecting it to intense heat, but starving it of the oxygen it needs to combust. Mm. You drive off the volatile gases, which the EarthCare system actually uses for energy, by the way, and what you're left with is the pure carbon structure. The source material calls it refined and stable.
That word stable came up so many times. Why is that so important? I mean, if I throw manure in my garden, that breaks down too. Why is stable better?
It's all about longevity and function. Raw organic matter is biologically active. It rots, it breaks down pretty quickly, releases its nutrients, and then it's gone. It's unstable.
Right.
Ecochar is described as a carbon-rich material that's designed for the long haul. It essentially transforms a disposal problem, like waste biomass, into a permanent environmental tool.
So you're taking something that would normally rot and release methane, and you're sort of freezing its carbon skeleton in time.
Essentially, yes. You're creating a skeleton that can sit in the soil for decades, maybe even centuries, just doing its job.
Okay. So we have this stable, engineered carbon skeleton. Let's get into what happens when you actually put it in the ground. The biggest part of these documents is about soil enhancement. This must be where the sponge analogy really comes in.
This is where we get into the physics of it, and you have to visualize this. If you looked at ecochar under a microscope, it wouldn't be a solid rock. It would look more like a coral reef.
A coral reef.
Or a very rigid sponge. It has this incredibly complex internal structure. It's full of holes and pores and tunnels. The documents list three main physical changes this brings to soil. Texture, porosity, and aeration.
Okay, let's unpack those. Aeration seems pretty obvious. If it's full of holes, it holds air.
Right. Think about a farmer who's dealing with heavy clay soil. That soil gets compacted, right? It suffocates plant roots because they need oxygen just as much as they need water.
It turns into a brick.
Exactly. By mixing ecochar in, you are creating millions of tiny pockets for air. You're fluffing up the dirt. It lets the roots breathe. But the other side of that coin is moisture retention.
The sponge effect.
Yes. Because it's so porous, water doesn't just run past it. Capillary action actually pulls water into those tiny pores inside the ecochar. The source material says it significantly improves the soil's ability to retain moisture.
So in the real world, during a drought, let's say, The farmer with this in their field might not see their crops wilt as quickly as their neighbor.
That is precisely the implication. It's a reservoir. It holds water at the root level, so when the surrounding soil dries out, the plant can tap into the water that's stored inside the ecochar. That's a huge deal.
There was another phrase in that section that I thought was really evocative. It said, ecochar increases the microbial population. It almost made it sound like it was building a city for bacteria.
That is a perfect analogy, actually. We tend to think of soil as just dirt, but healthy soil is a living ecosystem. It is teeming with beneficial microbes, bacteria, fungi that break down nutrients so plants can use them.
And those microbes are fragile.
Very. They can be washed away. They can dry out. The ecochar provides what the documents call an ideal habitat. All those little nooks and crannies we talked about. It's like a high-rise apartment complex for microbes. They can move in, reproduce, and be protected.
So you're not just feeding the plant. You're housing the workforce that feeds the plant.
Exactly. And when you have that healthy microbial population, you get stronger nutrient cycling. The whole soil ecosystem just becomes more resilient.
Okay, so that's the physics, the structure, the water, the habitat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to shift gears to the chemistry. This is where I started seeing terms that took me back to high school science class, specifically absorption with the D and encapsulation.
This is where it gets really fascinating. This is the difference between ecochar acting like a bucket versus acting like a magnet.
Oh, I like that. Okay, let's start with encapsulation. What is being encapsulated?
Well, think back to the source material. We said it starts as waste, right? With the earth care system, that's often manure or other nutrient-rich biosolids.
Right, stuff that's already full of nitrogen and phosphorus.
Precisely. Now, during the gasification process, the system captures or encapsulates those original nutrients inside the ecochar structure. Instead of them being lost to the air, they get physically locked inside the carbon matrix.
So the ecochar comes preloaded. It's not an empty sponge.
To an extent, yes. The documents say this makes the nutrients slowly available to plants. It's a slow-release fertilizer. It prevents that initial burn you can get from raw fertilizer and just gives the plants a steady diet.
Got it. So that's encapsulation, the internal storage. Now, adsorption, you said that's the magnet part.
Right. Adsorption is how ecochar interacts with the soil around it. This is about surface chemistry. The source material specifically highlights that ecochar has charged particles.
Charged particles. Okay, that sounds a little sci-fi. Are we just talking about a basic electrical charge?
We are. It's basic chemistry, but with really powerful implications. The surface of ecochar tends to have a negative electrical charge. Many of the key plant nutrients, calcium, magnesium, potassium, exist as positively charged ions or fecations.
Opposites attract.
Exactly. So the ecochar acts like a magnet for these nutrients. It creates what the documents call a nutrient sponge.
Okay, so let's play this out. A farmer puts fertilizer on a field, then a huge rainstorm hits.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, what happens?
Normally, a huge chunk of that fertilizer dissolves and just washes right off the field. It ends up in the nearest creek.
Which is bad for the farmer's wallet and awful for the river.
Right, that's nutrient runoff. But if that soil is amended with ecochar, those negatively charged surfaces grab onto the positive nutrient ions. They bind them.
It catches the fertilizer before it can escape.
It acts as a buffer, but here's the cool part. It doesn't lock them away forever. It holds them loosely enough that when a plant root comes along, it can make an exchange and take up the nutrient.
So it's like a pantry. It keeps the food safe until you're ready to eat it.
That's a perfect way to put it. It dramatically improves fertilizer efficiency. You keep the inputs where the plants can actually use them.
That is a massive double benefit. You save money and you stop polluting local waterways. Before we move on, though, I have to address something. We keep saying this is made from waste. From manure. If I'm a consumer and I hear my food is grown in something made from, well, poop, I might be a little skeptical. Is it clean?
That's a very valid question, and the source material anticipates it. They have a whole section on the safety profile.
I saw the list of freeze. It was like a label on a health food product.
It really is. They emphasize that because it's produced under these controlled high heat, low oxygen conditions, it's effectively sterilized. The list includes pathogen free, E. coli free.
Which is huge. You hear about E. coli outbreaks on lettuce all the time.
And that usually comes from contaminated runoff. But here, the heat kills the pathogens completely. But the list goes on. Free from growth hormones. Medication-free. Residue-free.
That's the part that really got my attention. We know industrial livestock can get antibiotics. You're saying the process gets rid of those too.
That's what medication-free implies. Antibiotics and hormones are complex organic molecules. The gasification temperatures are high enough to just break those molecular bonds. You're not just killing bacteria, you're dismantling the chemicals themselves.
So you're breaking it down to its elemental components.
Correct. You're left with a product that is safe for food production, even if the feedstock it came from wasn't.
That's a critical distinction. Okay, so we've got this clean, sponge-like, magnetic supersoil, but the documents don't stop at the field, they go right into the barn.
Right. The poultry and livestock applications, this is one I hadn't really thought about until reading this. They talk about using EcoChar in animal bedding or litter.
So why would a farmer put this black stuff in with their chickens?
Well, if you've ever been in a commercial poultry house, you know the biggest problem.
The smell.
The smell, yeah. But specifically ammonia. As the bird waste breaks down, it releases ammonia gas. It's not just unpleasant. It's dangerous for the birds. It can burn their lungs and eyes.
And EcoChar helps with that.
It attacks the problem on two fronts. First, remember the adsorption, the magnet.
Right.
It physically binds the ammonia compounds, locking up the nitrogen so it can't turn into a gas. And second, that physical sponge structure absorbs moisture.
And wet bedding is a recipe for disaster.
It's a breeding ground for bacteria and disease. EcoChar keeps the litter drier, which means cleaner air, drier bedding, and ultimately improved animal health. And of course, that means odor elimination.
Which keeps the neighbors happy.
It keeps everyone happy. It just binds all those odor-causing compounds.
It really is a Swiss Army knife. We've done soil, we've done livestock. Now, water. The sources mention water purification. Is this just the same sponge concept again?
It is, just applied differently. Think about a Brita filter. What's inside?
Activated carbon. Charcoal.
Exactly. EcoChar functions in a similar way. Its porous structure traps contaminants physically, and its charged surface traps them chemically.
So you could use it to filter stormwater runoff.
Yes, or agricultural runoff. You can build barriers with it. And then there's remediation. If you have land that's been damaged by, say, heavy metals, you can mix EcoChar into the soil.
And it locks them up.
It makes them bio-unavailable. It doesn't make the lead disappear, but it holds onto it so tightly that it can't leach into groundwater or get taken up by plants. It stabilizes the contamination.
That's incredible. There's one last feature I want to touch on, and it feels like the most long-term one.
Hmm.
Carbon sequestration.
Oh,
we
yeah.
hear that buzzword all the time. What does EcoChar actually do for carbon?
This is the big one for climate change. See, if you just let a pile of manure or wood chips rot, it releases carbon dioxide and methane back into the atmosphere pretty quickly.
The carbon just cycles.
Right. It goes up, a plant breathes it in, the plant dies, it goes back up. When you turn that biomass into EcoChar, you are interrupting that cycle. You're converting that carbon into a highly stable form. The source notes it remains in the soil for decades.
Decades.
Potentially centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even longer. You're taking carbon that was in the atmosphere that a plant captured, and you are locking it safely underground.
You're putting the carbon back in the vault.
And you're doing it in a way that actually helps the soil. You're taking a waste stream and putting it back into the earth to heal it.
That's a powerful idea. Okay, so to wrap this up, we have this massive range of applications.
Mm.
Agricultural soil amendment, livestock bedding, water filtration, remediation, and carbon sequestration. It almost sounds too good to be true. But the science seems to connect all the dots.
It's a comprehensive list. And to circle back, this all comes from the work of renewable energy consultants and Bob Rice. They're linked to a company called Natural Char Solutions, so it seems like this is a commercially available technology.
For me, though, the thing I'm going to be thinking about later is this idea of transformation and what clean really means.
How so?
Well, we think of clean farming as, you know, pristine and green. But here, the key to true cleanliness, getting rid of pathogens, hormones, odors, is this black carbon-heavy material.
That's a great point. We have this cultural idea that charred means dirty or ruined. But in this context, the heat of gasification is the purifying agent.
Exactly. It completely challenges our assumptions. The cleanest thing you can put in your soil is actually this black engineered carbon.
And in doing so, you're closing the loop. You're not just getting rid of waste, you're harvesting its value and turning a linear system of use and trash into a circle.
It makes you look at a pile of manure a little differently, doesn't it? It's not trash, it's a battery of potential soil health just waiting to be unlocked.
It certainly is.
Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. A huge thank you for tuning in and sticking with us. Hopefully the next time you see a bag of biochar, you won't just see burnt wood.
You'll see the microscopic city inside.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you on the next deep dive.